in verse 14. There's a verse I want to start out with tonight. It's a familiar verse to some. We've heard it. Well, Habakkuk 2 and 14, it says, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." But notice it didn't say the earth's going to be filled with the glory of God. It said it's going to be filled with the knowledge of the glory. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And the glory of God, one of the definitions of it is the reflection of God. The glory of God is the reflection of God in our life. And that the Bible said that we are to give glory unto God. And that means that we're to reflect His image in the earth. And so when he said the knowledge of the glory of God, in other words, there's going to be a revelation in these last days of the knowledge of God, of the glory of God, the reflection of God in the people of God. The full glory of God. The Bible said that the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth. I mean, Isaiah chapter 40, it said, "Darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the glory of the Lord shall arise upon His people." Glory to God. And it shall be seen. In other words, the darker it gets in this world, the brighter the light of God's going to be in us. Yeah, if you turn all the lights out in here and you just got a match and you light that match stands out because of the darkness. And when the glory of God comes into our life, and I want to tell you something. I know for a fact that that we've not walked into the fullness of God yet. You know, some people say, well, when we all get to heaven, we'll get to see it. We'll get to experience it one day. But I want to tell you something. I believe before Jesus comes back, we're going to experience the fullness of the glory of God. The Bible said that Jesus was He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why? Because He was reflecting the glory of His Father in the earth. Whatever He did, He was reflecting that glory back into the earth. And so there's going to be a knowledge, but it's not necessarily head knowledge. It's revelation knowledge. Because how many knows that it takes the Holy Ghost to reveal things to us? People that, if somebody isn't filled with the Holy Ghost and being led by the Spirit of God, if you just read the Bible, you're really not going to get a revelation of God. You're gonna build an image of God in your mind. If the Holy Ghost didn't have nothing to do with it, if you just read the Bible without the Spirit of God, you could create your own image of what you think God is. And that's what happens in a lot of denominational churches. You know, they create an image of what they think God's supposed to be like. But I want to tell you something. The way God is the way Jesus was when He was here on the earth. And that's the way He wants us to be. Glory to God. He wants us to have that same image. Glory to God. And so look with me, if you will, to Philippians chapter 3. This is the Apostle Paul, and he was writing, and he said, let's start reading in verse 9. Let's read verse 8. "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him." And this word "know" is a word, it means to be aware of. Paul was saying that I may be aware of Him, and the power of His resurrection. Glory to God. Now think about what kind of power it took to raise Jesus from the dead. He said, I want to know the power of His resurrection. And He said, I want to be aware of Him. And you think that the Apostle Paul had it all going for him. But you know what? He said, I hadn't attained yet. He said, I'm pressing towards that mark. Glory to God. And he said, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of, Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Paul, you know, like I said, you'd think Paul had wrote all the scriptures and things, that you'd think that he was already there, that he already attained everything, but he said, I hadn't already attained. And when he said that I might attain to the resurrection, he wasn't talking about the resurrection one day. He was talking about the resurrection power right now in our lives as believers. Paul was pressing towards this mark. And he was saying, I want to be aware of Him. Because, see, I found out something. Whatever makes you aware of God makes God real in your life. And it's like the Holy Ghost come to make God real. The Holy Ghost come to make us aware of Him. You know, when you pray, you become aware of Him. When you're reading the Bible, you become aware of Him. When you're listening to preaching, you become aware of Him. When you hear somebody testifying, you become aware of Him. Whatever makes you aware of God, that's what we need to do. But whatever takes your attention away from Him, and I want to tell you something, there is a lot of things in this world that comes to try to take our minds off of God so that we don't have a revelation of who He is. Did you know in 1 Peter it said, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of Christ Jesus. In other words, when the more of a revelation of Jesus comes in your life, the more grace is going to come in your life. The more favor is going to come in your life. Because it's because of the knowledge of God coming into your life. It's not just head knowledge. I mean, when I first got saved, I was reading the Bible day and night. I was listening to preaching tapes. And I remember this had went on for about 2 months. And I remember thinking, well, you know, I don't really understand the Bible that good. And I'm reading it all the time. And then somebody said, well, you ain't got the Holy Ghost. And then I received the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And then I kept reading and I said, well, you know, I still can't really understand it that good. I thought it was just going to be like when I got the Holy Ghost, I could just pick it up and He'd just decipher everything for me. And so I started reading and I kept reading and reading. But when this question came to me, I started saying, Lord, anybody that can read can know what I know. I said, it's not supposed to be that way. And so that next week I went to work that morning. I mean, Sunday, a guy asked me to go to the jails with him, and I went to the jails, and we preached at the jails, and there was 3 or 4 people got saved. And the next day, I went to work, and when I went to work, I got on my scraper, sat down, and all at once, I become aware of the presence of God. It was just like either an angel or something. I felt the presence of God just sitting right beside of me. And all at once, I mean, I literally looked over there, and I was like, wow, I feel the presence of God. What's going on? And all at once, a scripture just came to me and said, if you seek to save your life, you will lose it. But if you'll lose it for my sake, you'll find it. And all at once, I always thought that was talking about being martyred. But all at once, I realized that he was talking about if you seek to save that old life of the flesh, you're going to lose your new life in Christ. But if you lose that life, you're going to find this life. And I said, wow, I didn't ever heard nobody say that before. And I got excited. And then all at once, another scripture came to me. And it was just one right after another, just kept coming. It was like this scripture tied to this scripture, and this scripture tied to that. By the time the end of the day came, I had had so many scriptures that had been revealed to me by the Spirit of God. And I mean, it was wonderful. And I realized it was supernatural. It wasn't me trying to figure it out in my head. It was the Spirit of God had brought revelation to me. And that was the beginning of revelation knowledge to me. And from that point on, the knowledge of God began to increase. When I'd read scriptures, and sometimes I wouldn't even be reading a scripture. I'd just be praying, and all at once a scripture would pop in my mind, and he would tell me what that scripture meant. And then I'd go look it up, and sure enough, that's what it meant. And because of that, it started leading me down a pathway, and it started showing me a certain way that we had to go, which was that to go the way that where God is going to live through you the same way He did Jesus. Jesus said that, it says, as He is, so are we in this world right now. The image of God wants to reveal Himself to us. But see, the thing of it is, there's so many things that tries to come against you to try to cause you not to see the glory of God. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. It says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now notice that. It says, gird up the loins of your mind. And your mind, it's referring to it as your loins. Because how many knows the loins is where the reproductive part is? And your mind is where the productive part is. It's where the enemy wants to plant thoughts in your mind. God wants to plant thoughts in your mind. But it says, gird up the loins of your mind. Don't let anything come in your mind. He said, hope to the end. Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end. And this word hope here, it means a confident expectation till the completeness comes. For the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation or the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Did you know there's an unveiling of Jesus Christ? There's a revelation of Jesus Christ to come. But he said, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Don't let your mind... It's almost like you got to be like one of those mules that had blinders on it, where they couldn't turn their head and look over there or look over here. They just had to keep looking right straight in front of them. And that's kind of how we are as believers, because I want to tell you something. That when you really decide to go all the way for God and you start giving Him all of your heart, the devil's going to do everything he can to sidetrack you, to get your attention over here, get your attention over there, get you offended, get you mad, get you hurt, get you feeling rejected, or whatever it is, or pull it to drugs or alcohol, whatever sins that he can get you with, he's going to try to cause you to take that turn and make a different sidestep. Because when it does, you lose your awareness of God. Because, see, that's what sin does. Sin tries to make you more aware of the world than it does of God. The devil tries to naturalize you, and God's trying to spiritualize you. See, the world will try to take a spiritual Christian, and he'll try to make you carnal again. He'll try to get you to yield to your flesh and your emotions and your feelings and, you know, all these things. But how many knows? It's just like Scotty said a while ago. It's not by your feelings. It's by faith. The just shall live by faith. And so too many people wants to go by their feelings. I mean, it's good when you feel it. It's good when you feel the things of God in your life. But sometimes the devil will lie to you through your feelings. Sometimes, I mean, I've known people that had problems with rejection in their life, and they would feel rejected when nobody was even rejecting them. Their feelings, and because of that, they'd start having bad feelings towards somebody that hadn't even done nothing to them. Why? Because they thought that person was rejecting them, but it wasn't. It was just a spirit that was attacking them. You know, I mean, I had people come up to me before and tell me I preached something at church that I didn't even preach. I mean, I had a lady that was mad at me, and she'd been mad at me for a year. And finally, she confessed that I had rebuked her publicly. And it just so happened I knew the night. We went back and listened to the tape, and I was bragging on the woman. And somehow or another, she got that I was rebuking her. Why? Because she already had an offense toward me, And see, she just let that thing lie to her. And you know, like when you're, if you're feeling lonely or rejected, the devil say, nobody loves you. It's easy. How many knows when you feel something and then somebody tells you something, it's easier to believe it if you got feelings. You know, if you feel lonely and if you feel rejected and the devil says your husband don't love you, if you did, you wouldn't feel like this. You know, or whatever. If he loved you, he'd brought you some flowers today. Or what? But the devil lies to you through your feelings. When you're sick in your body and by his stripes we are healed, and your body says, I'm sick, and your mind says, the word of God says that by his stripes I'm healed, but your body says, I'm sick, and if we're not careful, we'll go by what we feel rather than what the word of God says. And so the thing of it is, in this hour, if we want to have victory, we have to learn to live by faith. Did you know that the Bible said the joy of the Lord is your strength? Did you know that word strength there means it's your fortification. It's a stronghold for you. In other words, when you've got the joy of the Lord, it's a place of safety. It's a place. How many knows when you got joy, it's easier to go through a trial? The Bible said that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. But he was able to go through what he went through because of joy. And you say, well, how did he have joy while he was being crucified? Because he looked to the future and he seen that you and I was going to be born again one day, that all mankind was going to be redeemed and all people was going to be brought back to God and all things was going to be restored back again. And because of the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And see, and the devil tries to take away your joy so you won't endure the cross. He tries to take away our joy so that we go through life depressed trying to serve God. But I want to tell you something. The joy of the Lord is your strength. People goes looking for joy in bars and parties and doing this and illicit affairs and all kind of things looking for joy. But I want to tell you something. When you got the joy of the Lord already, you ain't got to go looking for it. You already got it. Glory to God. And it belongs to us. In Isaiah 35, I want you to turn over there and look at this verse with me. Isaiah 35. In verse 3, it says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong and fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense, and he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. You know what I believe? I believe that's revelation knowledge. I believe it's revelation knowledge. That the ears are going to be opened, the eyes are going to be opened. He said, say to them that of a fearful heart, fear not. Behold your God. Because, did you know that if you let fear manipulate you, it'll stop you from seeing God? And people are eat up with fear in this hour. Depression, anxiety, all the things that's coming against people. But he said, fear not. Jesus said, fear not, only believe and you'll see the glory of God. See, fear will block you from seeing God. It'll cause, fear makes you see the bad. Fear makes you see what the worst could happen. Or this might happen if this might happen and you actually go through the stress of it as though it already happened. But he said, fear not and be, fear not. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not, behold your God. And he said, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, then shall the lame man leap as a hart, the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, and the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there. And this highway is it's a highway, it's not a pavement. It's a highway, it's a higher walk. How many knows we've been called? Paul said, I'm pressing towards the high calling. And he said, a highway shall be there, and a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. And the unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those of wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up there, and it shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. Notice that. And they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Praise God. You know what that tells me? That tells me that when we receive the fullness of God, we're going to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. We're going to have, he said, they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. And you say, oh, that's when we get to heaven. No, it's not. It's here. And you say, well, how's it going to flee away? How's all the trouble and problems going to flee away? Because when you are aware that He is with you, when you know that you're walking with God and that no matter what you face, He's going to take care of it. When you know that He's able to raise the dead, He's able to heal the sick. When you know He's on your side, glory to God. How many know it causes joy? And even though you might see problems, did you know that by faith you can look ahead and see the good coming? By faith you can see the answer already on its way. And you know, it's like this lady told me. I told this lady one time that she had come to church that Sunday night, and she said, my husband told me that I either had to choose him or church. And she said, I told him I chose church, and he got it, packed his clothes and left. And she was up boo-hooing and crying, and she wouldn't even come in the church. And I said, if you could see your husband in church serving God next week, I said, would it make it easier to go through what you're going through right now? Oh, yes, I would be so happy if I knew he was going to be in church next week. I said, that's what faith is. I said, you need to act right now like you will act when he comes into church next week. And she just kept crying and boo-hooing. She didn't even come into church that night. She stayed in the car and cried all the way through service. The next week, her husband came to church, fell on his knees and told me, he said, forgive me, preacher, for talking bad about you. He said, I saw a vision of hell. And he said, it scared me so bad. He said, I want to give my life to Jesus. And he gave his life to Jesus right there in the church. And it was exactly like I said. I mean, I was just kind of giving her it could happen like this. But it happened the way I said it. And see, but the thing of it was, she suffered the whole week. She was crying and whining and wasn't happy, but she could have had joy the whole week and then still had joy on Sunday. And you know what? The same thing can happen in our lives right now. We say, oh yeah, but you don't know what kind of problem I got. But no, how would you act if you know that problem was going to be taken care of? How would you act? I mean, you can't live by faith and look down the road and believe that God's going to take care of your problem and at the same time be boo-hooing and crying about it. Because if you know He's going to answer it, it's going to bring joy. When you really and truly know that He's going to take care of it, it's going to bring joy to you. That's what faith does. But He said, joy and gladness. They shall obtain joy and gladness. And a highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. You're not going to accidentally run into this place. This high road that I'm talking about, you have to on purpose decide to walk it. You have to on purpose decide, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to do His will. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to trust God. The Bible says, knock and the door shall be opened. Seek and you shall find. Ask and you shall receive. There was none of that that said He might answer. Knock and He might answer. Ask, He might answer. He might answer you. No, it didn't say that. It said He shall. Glory to God. So that how many knows that's positive? Our God is a positive God. And so that tells me that that if I knock, if I'm seeking Him, I'm going to find Him. If I'm asking for something from Him, He's going to give it to me. And you know what? It pleases the Father when you say, Lord, I want to know You. It pleases Him when you say, Lord, give me a revelation of Jesus Christ. Let me see Him, Lord. Let me see the glory of God. Because look with me, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter You know the verse where he said that as they looked into the face of Jesus, or the face of Moses, there was a veil put over his face? 2 Corinthians, glory to God. Well, anyways, if somebody knows where that's at. But it said that as they beheld the face of Moses, he had a veil over his face, so they couldn't look to the end of that which was to come. He wasn't wearing the veil because that his face was shining so bright. He was wearing the veil because that wasn't the face that they wanted him to see. But it said that which was to be done away with, which was the law. It said, but in the face of Jesus Christ, it said, as we behold Him, we're changed into the same image from glory to glory. Glory to God. So as we're beholding Jesus, we're going to be changed into His same image by the Spirit of God. Glory to God. And so, we have to make sure that we're seeing Jesus. Not religion. How many knows you don't want to be changed into the image of religion? You want to be changed into the image of Christ. You know, the religion is trying to be like Jesus without Jesus. But true Christianity is Jesus Christ in you. It's the Spirit of God living His life through us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 1. This is Paul, and he was praying a prayer for the Ephesian church. And in verse 17, he said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. And notice that. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. There it is, the glory again. The riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. Praise God. How many knows that Jesus has got all authority, all power, all dominion, and the more that we submit to Him, the more that we let His life reflect out of us and live through us, the more power we have over darkness. As a matter of fact, God wants you to be a light. The Bible said we are the light of the world. It said Jesus was the light of the world. Then He turned around and He said, you're the light of the world. And if we're the light of the world, that means that we're supposed to be reflecting His light into us back out into the world again. Not just, you know, talking a talk, but He wants us to walk the walk. He wants us to have the light of the life of God in us so much that when people get around us, they get convicted. You know, you can. I mean, how many knows that that God never says, you got too much. You know, he don't ever say, you got too much, I'm going to have to take some back. Or, you know, he just says, drink all you want. Get all you want. You can have all you want of God. You can have as much as you want of him. As a matter of fact, we usually do have as much as we want. If we want more, we just got to take more. Glory to God. But he said that the eyes of their understanding being enlightened. He was praying for them to have a spirit of revelation knowledge of Christ Jesus. You know, the Holy Ghost, his job, one of his jobs was to reveal Jesus to us. The Holy Ghost, when he comes into our life, he comes to reveal Jesus and show us the ways of Jesus. But the thing of it is, did you know, our ways are not his ways. Our old ways are not the ways of God. And so when we start serving God, your old ways of anger and bitterness and hatefulness and stuff like that, it opposes the life of God. And so you have to yield to his life. You have to forgive when you don't want to forgive, because it's his will, not our will. You know, people says, well, I just can't do that. Well, see, if you're going to live for God, you got to do whatever he says. If he said forgive, you got to forgive. If he said love your enemies, you got to love your enemies. If he tells you to give, you better give. You know, because when you obey God, it brings greater victory into your life. But you know something else that brings another revelation of God in your life? It's when you go through a trial and overcome it. When you go through a trial and overcome that trial, a greater revelation of God comes in your life. When the children of it, I mean, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they went through the fiery furnace, when they faced that greatest trial of their life, and they said, you either bow down or you're going to be thrown in the fiery furnace, they said, go ahead, do what you're going to do. But he said, we're not going to bow. And they got thrown in the fire. But while they were in the fire, the fourth man showed up. Now think about that. While they when they were in the fire, the fourth man, while they wouldn't give in to the temptation, and they were in the fire, the fourth man showed up. See, when you're going through a trial, the fourth man can show up in your life. As a matter of fact, the greater the trial that you're going through, the greater the revelation of God will come in your life. And the Bible said that after they went through there, the king said, come out of there, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God. And he promoted them in the kingdom. And when you go through a trial, it promotes you to the next level. You know, as a matter of fact, when you're praying, you're saying, God, I want more of you. Get ready for trial. You say, well, I'm not going to pray that way. Well, you better, if you want to go to the next level, you got to overcome that trial. That test, I mean, it never fails. When you make up your mind you're going to go on for God, there's going to be a test that comes. And the devil will try to get you to justify why you're like you are. He'll say, well, you know what they've done to you. You just can't forgive it. You can't just let it go. You know, you can't let people run over you. You got to stand up for yourself. You got to do this. You got to do that. And if you're not careful, your old man rises up instead of Jesus. Pride rises up and says, nobody's going to do me this way. You know, your flesh is going to try to block the life of God. But when you give in to the will of God in that trial, Jesus is going to show up in you. Glory to God. A lot of people don't realize that, though. They think that if they're going through a trial, they're defeated. You're not defeated. If you're in a trial because you're serving God and because you chose to do what's right, you might be right in the middle of your greatest promotion you've ever had. Glory to God. So don't be discouraged. The things that hinders the revelation of Jesus is a carnal mind. It's a mind, it's a state of mind where you're focusing on earthly, fleshly desires and impulses rather than the spiritual growth and a connection with God. Glory to God. If we neglect prayer and the Word, it will always cause you to be more fleshly. When you neglect prayer and you neglect the Word, it makes you more aware of the world. It makes you more... The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. And there that word is again, the knowledge of God. See, there's thoughts that are going to come to you that's going to try to exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. I mean, I've been through trials to where my mind felt like it was on fire. To where it felt like it was just blazing, you know, like thoughts just going in my mind. And it was like, but I helped it by continually giving my thoughts and letting it come into my mind. Instead of fighting it, you know, I'd start thinking on it, and I'd think on it more and more. And the Lord told me one day, He said, if you keep doing this, you're going to kill yourself. He said, you're making yourself negative. He said, negativity is getting in your blood. And I thought, getting in my blood? I never heard of such a thing. So I started doing some research, and I found out negativity can get in your blood. It can. Negativity, it's because your body, when you get in a negative frame of mind, it says your body, your brain will start releasing cortisol and certain things into your bloodstream. Why? Because of stress. Because of things you're going through. So it actually can get in your blood. And if, so if you get real negative and you're just focusing on all on negative stuff, it can get in your bloodstream and affect you. So that's the reason that we have to overcome this the depression and anxiety and stuff like this that tries to come at you. Because whatever you submit to has power over you. If you submit to a thought that comes from the devil, then you are submitted to him. When Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when they submitted to the lie the devil was telling them, he gained authority over them. He became their ruler over them because they had submitted to him. The Bible says, resist the devil. It says, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Glory to God. And so that means that when you're submitting to God, it gives God power in your life. But if you're submitting to the devil and thoughts is coming against your mind, you're giving the devil power in your life. But you know what? We got a lot of weapons. The Bible said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And a stronghold is a place where the devil's got a stronghold. Wherever he's got a stronghold at in your life, if it's drugs, if it's alcohol, if it's lying, if it's cheating, if it's rejection, if whatever it is, wherever there's a stronghold in your life, you can tell where it's at, because when you decide you're going to serve God and go forward, all at once the devil will say, no, you're not. And then he'll start squeezing that stronghold in your life, wherever it is, and it'll start popping up. And if you're not careful, you'll give in to it. And it'll set you back again. But see, God wants you to overcome those things. I remember when I first got saved and I was having a problem with this one particular sin. And I went to church that night and I was reading the scripture and it said, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're dead and your life is hid in Christ. When I seen that all at once, I said, it's over with, devil. This sin is over with. He said, sin shall not have dominion over you. Glory to God. And that means no matter what it is, it doesn't have to have power over you. But if you listen to the lies of the devil, if you let your feelings rule you and your mind rule you rather than the Word of God, you'll give in to it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Did you know that even when you're going through sickness, pain in your body, it can distract you away from God? I mean, if you're in pain all the time, it can distract you away. The devil uses a lot of things to try to pull God's people, to get our mind off of God. And That's why Jesus said, by His stripes you are healed. Because He wants you to know He's already made a way for us. Trouble and care. The Bible said, talked about in the parable of the sower, it said the cares of this world chokes the Word of God so that it becomes unfruitful. And so even things that are not sin, just cares of life, financial problems, children problems, wife problems, husband's problems, you know, work problems, all kind of problems can come to try to distract us. And so that's why it's so important that we have to keep going back to God in prayer and giving it to God. When you got a problem, the Bible says, cast all your care upon Him because He careth for you. And you know, when you really cast your care upon the Lord, you need to act like you did. And you need to ask yourself the question, if I cast this care upon the Lord, what would I do if I knew that this care was taken care of? How would I act? And then just start acting that way. Just start acting like it's took care of. And you say, well, that sounds like, you know, you're taking it too far. No, when you start doing this, do you know what it's going to do? It's going to make you have some joy. And I really and truly believe that God wants us to have joy. I believe, because I found out something, when I got joy, I feel like doing something. I feel like working. I feel like going and building something or working on something because of joy. You know, the joy of the Lord is your strength. But when I found out something else, though. When I'm feeling depressed and down and out, I don't want to do nothing but just lay on the couch. Why? Because that's not the joy of the Lord. Glory to God. R.W. Schambach preached a message one time called The Laugh of Faith. And I remember getting that tape and when I first got saved, and I remember thinking, you know, I don't laugh very much. You know, and I said, I need to laugh more. And I was at church, and this preacher was up preaching, and he was one of them kind that swung from the chandeliers and ran across the backs of the chairs while he's preaching and all this stuff. And I'm sitting on the front row, and he just runs over there and grabs my foot and picks it up in the air. And I'm sitting there with my leg stuck up in the air like this, and he's standing there preaching, just holding my foot. And I'm sitting there, and I'm wanting to laugh so bad. I'm about to cry. I'm wanting to laugh so bad. I look over at my buddy over here. He's just laughing. He's just cackling. And I'm fighting, and I'm thinking I won't be righteous if I laugh in church. And so finally he lets go of my foot and drops it down on the ground. And then I left from church that night, and I was driving down the road. I said, Lord, why did he grab my foot like that? And the Lord said, I was trying to make you laugh. And I said, dadgummit, I missed the perfect opportunity to laugh. You know, and it was like, I thought, next time I have that opportunity, I'm going to laugh. I'm not going to worry about being religious. And so, but see, the Lord will help you to laugh. And I remember we went down to Brownsville to revival down there years ago. And I got prayer, and when I went back to my room, Wade and Jackie was with me. And we were sitting there eating, and all at once, something happened, and it wasn't even really funny. And I started laughing. I couldn't stop laughing. I went back to my room, and I was laying in the room, and I was just laughing and laughing and laughing. And then I started just feeling waves of the Spirit of God just hitting me, just whew, whew. But I just kept laughing and laughing. And I thought, man, this is what happens when you get free. It makes you laugh. You know, the joy of the Lord. The Lord wants to free us up. Glory to God. But we see, we can have the laugh of faith. See, Abraham, Sarah laughed when God told Abraham, you're going to have a son. And the Bible said that Sarah laughed. But Schambach said that it wasn't a laugh of making fun of, but it was a laugh of faith. Because she was laughing because she realized she's going to have a baby. You know, and so when you realize that the Word of God's true, it'll make you laugh. It'll make you get excited. You know, when we was raising the money to build the church, and I went home after church that day, and we needed $7,000 to pay off this bill that had to be paid like in a week. And I went home and I was in my bedroom and I was sitting there praying, and all at once I just felt like a ton of bricks just dumped on me, and I felt the pressure. And I heard a voice that said, "What are you going to do if this money don't come in?" He said, you're going to be made a fool of. This church is going to look bad because it didn't raise the money, you know, that you said God was going to do. And all at once, I just felt a heaviness on me. And just out of my spirit, I said, "I don't care." I said, "This ain't my care. This is God's care. This is God's problem." And when I said that, I started feeling good. I started feeling something lifting off of me. And I said, "God's going to take care of this." And the more I said it, the better I felt. And so I just started praising God. And I remember I literally felt the weight of it lift off of me. And I went to church that night. All the way to church, I was singing, "I'm the happiest guy in the whole USA," going down the road. And I got to church, and I'm sitting there in church, and a thought kept coming to me, "What are you going to preach tonight?" But on the way over there, a thought was hitting me, and I said, "I ain't worried about it. I ain't worried about it. It's God's church. It's His message. I ain't going to worry about that." And I just kept casting it off, and I still just kept being happy. And I got to church, and I mean, the Spirit of God was moving like crazy. And it was because I was giving it to God. I was saying, "Lord, this ain't my problem. It's Your problem. Cast all Your care upon Him." And so then they turned it to me, and they said, "Okay, Brad, here you go." And I'm like, "Uh-oh, I ain't got nothing to preach." I said, "I've been rolling over on the Lord all night long and all day." And I said, "Now then, I don't even have anything to preach." And I thought, maybe I carried this too far. And then all at once I heard the Lord say, He said, "Tell them what happened to you today." And so I just started telling them how that I had cast that care over on the Lord. And several people came up for prayer that night. And we got testimonies of people that got delivered from things that was oppressing them that week. And not only that, but we got all the money came in to buy the church. And we didn't have to borrow a dime. And God paid for everything. And see, that was one of them problems. See, that was one of them problems where we could be rejoicing the whole time instead of crying and whining for a week waiting for the money to come in. See, God wants us to live in advance. He wants us to live by faith now, glory to God, and to where you can have joy. Because if you think about it, if you think everything's going to get bad, I'm lose my car, I'm going to lose my house, I ain't going to be able to pay my light bill, you know, this person might die or that person might die, you know, we don't need to think that way. We need to cast all those cares upon the Lord. Thank you, Lord, I thank You that this need is met according to Your riches and glory. And you know what? God will do it. Glory to God. The things that's going to make God aware, make you aware of God, is prayer, repentance. How many knows you got to repent of wrong thinking? You got to repent of wrong ways and turn back toward God. Overcoming trials and temptations. Living by faith and not by sight. Walking in the love of God. How many knows that you got to walk in the love of God? And being obedient to God. How many knows that when you're obedient to God, you become aware of it? When you know God tells you to do something and you obey Him, it makes you more aware of God. Being filled with the Holy Ghost. If you hadn't been filled with the Holy Ghost, you need to get filled with the Holy Ghost and stay full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And let the Word of God, let the Spirit of God renew your mind. How many knows that the Spirit of God will renew your mind? That's actually His job. The Bible says, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And the Bible says, "Put on the new man, which is renewed." The new man's already renewed. The old man's not renewed. He said, "Put on the new man, which is already renewed." You know, because we kind of get this thing backwards. We think, "I got to make my mind. I got to renew my mind. I got to make my mind think right." And you know what? You can't ever make your mind think right. It takes the Spirit of God to do it. But when you put on that new man, I mean, the day I got born again, I quit cussing right then. The day I got born again, I got up and I quit drugs right then. I didn't have no side effects. I mean, I quit immediately. And people says, well, you know, I got to renew my mind, so I'll quit cussing. I didn't have to. I put on the new man that day. I got born again. When I got up from that altar, I never let a cuss word slip. And before that, I could not stop cussing. I tried to quit cussing. I tried to make myself quit cussing, and I'd make it about half a day, and then I'd cuss. Something would happen. I couldn't control my words. I literally couldn't. I tried to. But as soon as I got born again, now see, the reason I'm saying this is because this is a point, this proves my point, that you can't renew your mind. It takes putting on the new man. It takes repenting and accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and putting on the new man. When you put on that new man, he's already renewed. You just got to walk in him. And when but if it was the other way around, that would have meant when I got saved, it would have took me 6 months to quit cussing because I'd still been trying to work those things out of my life. But it wasn't that way. It was just instantaneous. And so that tells me that if you put on the new man, you're going to automatically overcome a lot of the problems. Glory to God. Denying selfish lust and desires and take up our cross and follow Him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How many wants more joy this week? Glory to God. Think about what is it that stops you from having joy? Is it fear? Is it something fearful that you're thinking in your life that's caused you not to have joy? Is it pressure? Is it stress? Is it something that's waiting upon your life and putting pressure on you? Whatever it is that's stopping you from having joy, you got to give it to God. And there's something else that I found out. Your heart knows when you're sincere. You can tell your head one thing. You can tell your head, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But your heart knows whether or not you really repent. Your heart knows whether or not you really sold out to God. But the minute that you really sell out to God in your heart, it brings joy. The minute you really give your heart to God, see, if you're halfway serving God, you can't experience what I'm talking about. You're going to have to fully give yourself to God. And when you do, your heart's going to know in your heart that you're serving God with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your soul. Glory to God. Let's bow our heads tonight. Glory to God. Father, we just praise You.